No need for panic. I began writing that paper, I believe, in the fall of 2005, initially as a private letter to my kid brother and my brother-in-law. I wanted to give them a heads up on what was coming, knowing full well they would not pay heed because I knew these men pretty well. But I thought it was the right thing to do, so I wrote it. And towards the end of writing it, I realized I probably should go ahead and publish it, so I did. This deals with Planet X. And what I was told by government insiders 14, 15 years ago, what was coming, they didn't have a timeline. And I did my homework and confirmed everything they were telling me was true. And I wrote my paper. What I'm being told by government insiders now is that Jupiter is blocking rocks from hitting Earth. These are what's called traveling companions with Planet X. That will end somewhere around the end of this year, and we'll start taking strikes from rocks, meteors, asteroids. One of the big concerns of the federal government right now, our federal government, United States of America, is good-sized rocks hitting the Atlantic Ocean, which would, if it was a good-sized rock, let's say something the size of maybe a football stadium, the speed at the velocity of these rocks is just incredible. Something that size or bigger would cause a tidal wave that could take out the East Coast. And depending on how it struck, it may all go all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and take out much of England and the coast of France and so forth. So that's what's one of the big concerns of the federal government is right now. They've been evacuating critical agencies away from the coast now for quite a while, more than 10 years. The CIA moved from much of what they do from Langley, Virginia, where they have always been, to Denver. The initial press release, even their own people were laughing at it, said it was to break up the good old boy network that's been in place for so many decades. Well, the good old boy network is what makes agencies work, isn't it? But now the press release simply says for operational reasons. National Security Agency, also fondly known as No Such Agency, Fort Meade, Maryland. They moved to Denver also. They also have facilities in Utah and Atlanta, probably other places. Great cover story there. They said that they have massive computers. They have the most, as far as I know, the most powerful computers on the planet. In fact, there's a scene in the movie Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman where Hackman says something to the effect that there's 20 acres of Cray mainframe computers underground at Fort Meade, Maryland, which is at the time was a true statement. That computer center has now been moved to Utah, by the way. The press release at the time said we can't get enough electricity to run our computers. Of course, everybody made fun of that because following Y2K, many of us learned how the national power grid works, and electricity is bought and sold and swapped between the different parts of the country routinely. So that was obviously a cover story. Then we got Plum Island. After World War II, the U.S. government wanted a place to experiment with very deadly biological agents, such as anthrax, foot and mouth disease, other things. And they bought an island, I think it's about 300 acres, 100 miles off the coast from Connecticut there in New York, and they built their facility. You look at it's been abandoned, by the way, and it's still for sale. I don't know if anybody's ever going to buy that thing. It would not be a wise investment. But if you look at a Google Earth photograph of it, it looks like a 300-acre golf course with five buildings on it. But the cover story there, the press release said they'd ran out of space. Well, it's a good-sized island, and no, they did not run out of space. So where did they move it to? Where did they move it to? How about the worst possible place you can imagine, Manhattan, Kansas? In the middle of the most productive, rich, agricultural real estate on the planet. But, of course, it's a good way from the ocean. The Vatican Library had been open for many, many centuries, every day, every working day for many, many centuries. And about 10 years ago, the Vatican Library was closed for more than a year. The cover story there was for remodeling. Well, I've been around libraries that have been remodeled, and they don't usually shut them down. They do one section at a time, and then they reopen. Our belief is that all the critical ancient documents, and the Vatican probably has the largest collection of ancient documents and manuscripts on the planet, that the originals were taken to a safe haven, most likely in the Swiss Alps, maybe the Rocky Mountains. We don't know. And they made copies, and the copies are still in the Vatican Library for researchers to make use of. So that's what was done there. When you read my paper, no need for panic. They're going to need a cover story. They're going to have a way to convince people to stay home, because people will believe it's the right thing to do, it's the safe thing to do, and they want to do it because that's what they've been told and that's what they believe. I think there's a strong likelihood that what's going on now with this Wuhan coronavirus is that pretext. It's an excellent pretext, by the way. It's beautiful. You have to give credit where credit is due. People will, in fact, shelter in place, do what they're told to do because they think it's the right thing to do. That's what 90, 95, 97% of the population will do, and in fact are doing. The Wuhan coronavirus is a real virus, and it really is killing people. People are dying as a consequence of this virus. Of course, people die of the flu virus every day of the week in far greater numbers than this Wuhan virus is killing so far. The reports I'm getting is that this Wuhan virus is probably not as deadly as influenza A, influenza B, which we deal with routinely, and which routinely kills 700 Americans every week of the year. That's a weekly average, higher in the winter, lower in the summer. So they got what they need. Now, Mike Adams yesterday published an article giving the proof, hard evidence, irrefutable evidence, that the CDC began hiring quarantine managers in November of 2019. And they listed the cities where they would be employed, which just happened to be the same cities where right now we have the worst outbreak of the Wuhan coronavirus. I can believe in coincidence up to a point, but that stretches that point to where it was broken a long time ago. That is not coincidence. That is not coincidence. That's prior knowledge. That's part of a plan, is what that is. The Centers for, as it's sometimes called, Center for Disease Creation, CDC, began hiring quarantine managers in November before there was any public discussion whatsoever of the Wuhan Chinese virus, before it was allegedly even released in China, in Wuhan, China. Can you see a picture forming up here, coming together? I say in my paper, no need for panic, I mention this type of event happening. Now, this is 14 years ago I wrote this thing. I basically said the government will need something that will have people comply without any need for force, without any need for strict restrictions. And this is it. This is it. Absolutely, this is it. What the government wants to do is maintain order until the last minute. At some point, it'll be clear that there's a threat that is coming from space. But by then, everything will be in place. The government needs these months themselves. The government needs UPS and FedEx to work properly on a daily basis, the Postal Service to work properly on a daily basis, the trucks to keep running, deliveries to be made. The government needs spare parts and things just like the rest of us do. So they want to maintain order. And they want people to do it on their own, voluntarily. And that's what this is doing. People are voluntarily complying with these orders because it appears to be the right thing to do for the right reasons. They're not going to have to be forced. There are lots of facets to this. Will there be a vaccine? I don't know. They're publicly saying it'll be a year. Given what we know now, I wouldn't be surprised if the quote-unquote vaccine has been in refrigerator since last November also, waiting to be issued all around the country. Wouldn't surprise me at all. At this point, given the gravity of what we're talking about. I think it's almost a side issue. And of course, I'm not going to take any vaccine. The last vaccine I had was the summer of 1967, what they called the overseas shot series that all of us GIs got before we went to Vietnam. At the time, within my 19-year-old, I was 19 years old, by the way, I turned 20 just 2 weeks before I got on the plane to go to Vietnam. In my 19-year-old ignorant brain, I thought, man, this is great. I can't get the bubonic plague or yellow fever or any of those other tropical diseases that exist in the tropics. They've got what they want. They've got the ideal way to have people stay in place and maintain order. That's what they want. Now, in the spring of 2017, I was approached by the sponsor of the Prague Peace Prize to accept the Prague Peace Prize in Prague, Czech Republic in July. And during our many discussions that we had, the sponsor asked me, she said, John, well, were you upset when you found out that the government, the U.S. government and the other world governments were not going to inform people what's coming? And here's my response. I said, yeah, initially I was, and for a number of years I was upset that the U.S. government was not going to warn their people. These other governments weren't going to warn their people. But I no longer feel that way for the following reason. The safe havens that we're aware of, Arkansas, Missouri, Ozarks, a couple of other places, do not have and will not have housing for 350 million people. That is not going to happen. It simply isn't going to happen. Point being, why would you cause people to panic 16 years in advance or whatever it might be, 14 years, 16 years in advance, and suffer and die a decade or more ahead of when they're going to suffer and die anyway? Why not let these people have a normal 10 years of life? Why not? If they're going to die anyway, let them enjoy life for another 10 years. As much as I don't like that decision, I find myself having to agree with it. Going back to my paper, No Need for Panic, I located what I was looking for here during the break. Page 3, the section, it's a two-paragraph section. It says, the headline is, the title of it is, The Significant Humanitarian Event. Now, I'm going to read this one paragraph to you, and only one paragraph. The above is not my choice of words. It is a term coined inside the U.S. government to refer to these events. The following is what is known. There will be no public admission that the events unfolding are anything that will cause property damage or loss of life. Just prior to it becoming clear that this is not the case, then, and only then, martial laws will be declared. A really handy scenario would be to have a terrorist-related event give the pretext for martial law. The reason? People will respect and go along with orders to protect them from human threats or disease. I'm going to repeat that sentence. It's a critical sentence. People will respect and go along with orders to protect them from human threats or disease. They will not go along with orders they recognize will not work to protect them, that as in natural disasters. It is now being estimated that the loss of American life, up to 50 million people, is regarded as acceptable loss. Please note, it's the U.S. government saying this, not John Moore. These are words I wrote in 2006, 14 years ago. Actually, this paper matured and was added to, began in 2005, and wrapped it up, adding things to it in 2006, and published it in its final form. So there you have John Moore in 2006, publishing a paper relating to exactly what's going on now, in my opinion. In my opinion. What we're living through, this event, it will change our lives for the foreseeable future. When I say foreseeable future, one decade, two decades, I don't know. If the reports I'm getting from government insiders is correct, the world as we know it is going to be drawing to a close, and there'll be a new world emerge afterwards. You know, the phrase is the end of the world as we know it, not the end of the world. That's an important distinction to make, isn't it? Our planet, this third rock from the moon, from the sun, excuse me, third rock from the sun, goes through this about every 3,600 years. There's some disagreement on that timing, but mainstream archaeology shows that there's been a number of civilizations going back at least four cycles that all began and ended about 3,600 years ago, and 3,600 years before that, and 3,600 years before that. That's well known and well established. That's not even debatable. Well, something every 3,600 years causes major civilizations to collapse and new ones emerge. And there's lots of evidence that these are major violent earth changes that cause this to happen. And Dr. Velikovsky was one of the first ones to demonstrate that with his work. He wrote three books. Dr. Velikovsky was a very bright guy, medical doctor, not a trained archaeologist, thank goodness, because trained archaeologists couldn't do what he did. One of the things Dr. Velikovsky did that the mainstream archaeologists had never thought about doing is reconcile the ancient calendars. The ancient calendars of the Hebrews living in the Sinai Desert, the Chinese, Northern Europeans, the Mayans. And once you do that, once you reconcile the calendars, then you can line up ancient events. And a lot of things lined up once he did that that had never been lined up before because nobody had taken the time to do that. You'll be hearing a lot more about this from me over the coming weeks and months as this moves forward. Assuming we still have power, we still have the internet, at some point there's a high likelihood the internet will be shut down. There could be interruptions in the power grid here and there. There's a lot of powerful forces at work here that have not given up their agendas. They have not given up their agendas. This country is slowing down. Now, we do have summertime coming up. I would say maybe 1 in 100 American adults, maybe less, have ever heard of the ultraviolet index, don't know the ultraviolet index even exists. Well, it does. It's serious stuff. Skin cancer is nothing to screw around, to mess around with. And we have a link to the Environmental Protection Agency there. We can put in any zip code and find out what the ultraviolet index will be for that zip code that particular day. That's a good thing. You need to learn how to protect yourself from the ultraviolet so you don't get skin cancer. You really do. It was the early spring of 2000, 20 years ago, this spring. Two friends of mine, independent researchers, approached me. One didn't know the other was going to approach me, and they started telling me about this event that would happen in the future, that there would be an event where there would be massive flooding of all coastal areas, that there would be huge earthquakes, that there would be 200-mile-an-hour winds for a better part of a day. And I listened patiently to these guys, and I thought, man, you men need tinfoil hats really bad. But I respected them and their work enough to approach a friend of mine who is connected to various government agencies, and I asked him, I said, what's the deal here? He says, John, I don't know. I never heard of this, but I'll check it out. I'll get back with you. About a month later, he gets back with me. He says, John, it's true. The government's known about this since about, 1989. And they've been getting ready for it since about 1989. This thing called Planet X. Once I had that independent confirmation from an inside source, I began my own research. I did the things that people normally do. Found out about Dr. Velikovsky. I found out about Professor McKinney and his work and others. And things are going along quite well. And then I had lunch one day with a friend of mine who I served with in Special Forces, a dual service veteran, and he told me about a classified briefing he was in 1985. And I got my dates wrong. It was 1979 the government found out about this and confirmed it. Anyway, at the classified briefing in 1985, they were told the following: gentlemen, in your lifetimes, during your lifetimes, these oceans will come out of their basins worldwide, flooding all coastal areas worldwide. And when it comes time to retire from the Navy, you might just want to pick a retirement home in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, one of the known safe havens, which, of course, he did. The caller on hold here, we got Dave in New York. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, John. I enjoyed your overview of in the first half hour. Very informative and level-headed. I realize working with you that you keep a very level head.
Thank you, sir.
And appreciate that. Yeah. What I did notice, and I did want to discuss the death rates from this, the lethality, I guess we would say, of this Wuhan flu versus the regular flu. And the bottom line is we don't know until it's over. This pandemic and this throughout the world, all these are secondary infections that have all come from China, as Trump likes to say. But they are secondary, and so the epidemics in those countries have only recently started as early as February, pretty much, we could say. But they only started at point sources. So this disease was not endemic in the population, like the seasonal flu here is in the U.S. And if it's endemic in the population, then you have many, many sites where it's originating from each year as the conditions change, and apparently that one is seasonal with the colder weather. We don't even know how this will be seasonal, and I don't like to speculate because there are so many ideas out there. And if we stick to what we know, I think we're a little safer, although sometimes it's good to view where this could go in the worst-case scenario.
Absolutely. But
yeah, if we do look at the case fatality rate outside of China thus far, 4.1% of the total cases have resulted in death so far, with most of the cases still all infected and not recovered. So we would expect, if no one else were to get sick and no other measures were put in place to fight the disease, say a magic drug or something, that this 4.1% would be higher in the end. But the containment of the disease may be something that will reduce the final numbers, at least for this round. The problem is that I was listening to Paul Cottrell, and he thinks that based on the nature and the studies of the receptors and how this actually works, that this thing would likely continue on. Now, that's educated speculation. And, he did discuss, with his brother recently about different receptors, three receptors being involved in a protease called a furin, which, could cut off part of the virus, part of a protein off the virus, and somehow make it more virulent in the person that's infected, with it. And this would occur more likely under someone who is under stress, because of what receptors or molecules rise to the surface of the cell when someone is under stress. So it's very interesting how stress affects a person. And he said that this could explain different clinical presentations of the disease in different people, like totally different ones. Someone no symptoms, someone mild symptoms, and some people just go over the edge and they're on a respirator. This is educated speculation, and I appreciate his work.
Well, Dave, before you get away, you haven't had more than a half an hour to think about this, but I was very disappointed, but not all that surprised, to find out that the Center for Disease Control started hiring quarantine managers this past November. You haven't had much time to reflect on that, but do you have any thoughts on that matter, sir?
Well, I saw that last night also up on. Yeah, it's very simple that they showed their cards very clearly. Why did they show their cards so clearly? They're giving
care.
People who are aware. Well, they're also giving a message to people who are aware enough to say, hey, yeah, there is something going on here. Let's call it a conspiracy or prior knowledge. They had prior knowledge. So they're involved with a lot of different people, and your friend Bill Gates, and who knows. So, again, that's speculative, and we have to deal with what we have here. Steve Quayle reported, and he was on with Mike Adams talking recently. That was a Monday of this week's show. And Steve Quayle has done a lot of research into ancient things, and he's uncovered a lot of things about giants that's all hidden in those libraries you're talking about, the Vatican Library or right. a Smithsonian Institute especially. Right. I think it's very, very hidden. So, but he said, all I'm pointing out is that he has done some very good research in the past, I believe. China Wuhan hospitals were built according to, I believe he said there were aerial photos of mass graves in those spots that were covered up by the hospitals. Now, don't quote me 100% on this, folks. Go check it out. Listen to Steve Quayle talking with Mike Adams if you'd like. But to me, it was reported that from ex-United States officials that 112,000 people were dead as of January 28th in China, and this must have been probably in a local area like in Wuhan. And a Chinese doctor commented that it was more like 175,000 people dead at that point. So that is, you know, that is the worst case of what might have happened in China. And I it's all speculation. It's all unverified, except for if you can see aerial photos of mass graves, I think that's pretty good evidence. Any comments on that, John?
Well, it is good evidence, and as I said earlier, this is a real disease. It really does kill people, and it's foolish to think otherwise. And I agree with you. We may never know the true percentages, other than if you have an underlying health condition and you get this, there's a strong likelihood that you'll die from it.
Right. Okay. So, you know, based on some government estimates, which came somehow from the inside here, that they were expecting 18 to 24 months for the problems to resolve here in the U.S. So it would be a long, protracted problem that we're going to have. That is not inconsistent with Mike Adams' alert that he just put out about financial collapsing banks and things. But, of course, he got some information, and many times people have gotten disinformation. They come out with these crazy alerts, and, you know, things don't really happen the way they're saying at all. So I just caution on that. But Mike Adams did come out with an alert yesterday. You can read it and be shocked. What do you think, John, from what you're hearing? Is his article shocking to you?
Well, I'm not familiar with an alert. I read the article about the CDC hiring the
managers. Go take a look at the one that's just before that, that was just below that on pandemic.news, if you get a chance during the break or later, and see what he's saying. I mean, he's saying that banks are collapsing. I mean, I did hear that Deutsche Bank was collapsing, but
it's not at Mike's website. You know, it's at a different website. What was that one?
It's at Mike Adams has a website called pandemic.news.
Oh, really?
The first article is the CDC article. Yes. The first article is the CDC article, and the second article listed is his alert about financial collapse. All the ammo is gone, and food shortages and supply lines and all kinds of this stuff. But
okay, I wasn't aware of that other website. I'll have to check that out. Well, thank you for the heads up.
Sorry about that.
That's very good.
All right. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me? I do have.
Well, I think we've covered everything I can think of at the moment here, Dave. That'll probably change before the day's over.
Well, the other thing that I could go over a list of things that could help with the supplements and things that could help with the disease driven, if you would like, right now.
Yeah, well, before you get started, I was reading an article about the Spanish flu and how patients kept in tents and exposed to sunshine recovered more quickly than patients who were kept indoors. But go ahead with what you've got, sir.
Well, I'm glad the seasons are changing for that. Paul Cantrell and his brother, in the latest talk on the 17th, they mentioned his brother thinks he had it, and his friends had it, and they're still all sick because they were goofing around and doing things with each other, even very more intimate things, you know, and they're spreading around. And he said, guys, just, quarantine. Regardless, he said that what helped him was licorice root, nanosilver 15, vitamin D3, K2, vitamin A, and ginger. And he said that the nanosilver 15 was like a gift from God. It really helped greatly. It's difficult to say how that was, but he was also very appreciative of ginger. I don't know how you evaluate those if you take a bunch of things at the same time. I do not know if he did or not. He did say focus on self-love, not anger, because that emotion, he's a psychologist, Paul Cantrell's brother, and very young, but I think maybe has a lot of expertise. And he said, of course, catch it early. Take the supplements right away when you have this first suspicion that you might have this. And, of course, that's what I've been doing when I had any kind of symptom. Cass Ingram was on RBN, and he said wild oregano oil cured him. It helped him with his problem with AIDS that he got as a medical doctor sticking his finger with a needle. And he recommends cinnamon, sage, and maybe two other herbs. I forget. Len Horowitz was on your show yesterday. He said, alkalize your body with sodium bicarbonate and water, and use oxysilver, which is like a nanosilver. I think it's very small particulate, maybe monomolecular even, like just one silver atom surrounded by water. Lee Pedersen was on talking about the structure of this, a tetrahedral structure. He was on with Paul Cantrell previously talking about that. Other things that come to my mind and I've thought of and seen was echinacea. And of course, if you do have the purple coneflower, which is echinacea, you can take the root and grind and make fresh tincture, and that would be very strong and effective. Elderberry, ginger, garlic, thieves oil at the bottom of your nose, zinc, especially early, and selenium. Limit your amount of selenium and zinc. You can overdose at least on selenium.
Hold on. Dave, would you consider preparing a memorandum outlining all the helpful tips that you're outlining here verbally? And I'll publish it at my website.
Yeah, I could send that off to you, John.
Okay, let's do that.
All written down already.
Let's do that. We're almost out of time this hour. We'll be talking privately, I'm sure, before the day is over. I want to get one more call in before the hour's over here, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth in New York, you've got about 2.5 minutes, my dear.
Hi, John. Because this is so much like the Spanish flu that we had in the past, one thing that's concerning is in the fall there was a second wave. And it was much more serious than the first wave. If everyone goes and looks up the Spanish flu, because this has the ability to mutate just like the Spanish flu, we could be looking at a second wave come fall. So everyone is going to need to be prepared for that eventuality that it could or might happen. And I just wanted to get that out there. If everyone looks it up, it shows that around October, there was a second wave, and because it had mutated, that the second wave was much more serious and much more lethal. So we are going to have to continue to have precautions past this first wave.
All right.
Because some people develop like secondary bacterial infections and whatnot.
That's good information, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Well, thank you, dear. We don't have time for any more calls this hour. We should have Dr. Lynn Wilbert with us next hour, and we'll be talking about health-related matters. It seems like we're spending more and more time talking about health-related matters. I pulled up Mike Adams' article here titled Urgent Alert, Financial System Collapsing, published yesterday. It is published at his website, naturalnews.com, and he has another website, apparently, pandemic.news, pandemic.news, which I did not know about that until Dave just told me. Good information. Our lives are changing before us in many ways. Hopefully this will bring families together that have not spent that much time together. That would be a good thing. This will bring people back to the churches, although I know many church services have been suspended, but they need to figure out a way to get around that, don't they? I'll be talking to the pastor of my church about what he's doing, what his plans are. Most churches have a large percentage of older people in the congregation, and of course those are the ones who are most susceptible to getting any flu. That's an issue to be dealt with, obviously. The modern age of TV and internet and radio may be ways to bring church to people's homes when they don't leave. Here's our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home. We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.